Hi, my name is Pat. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi.
And came into the program about 7 years ago, and I was 40 pounds overweight when I came in. I just felt bankrupt in every aspect of my life. Food was out of control. My life was out of control. Everything was out of control. So when I came to my first meeting, I heard such recovery that it just was overwhelming, and I knew I needed this program. But being the controller that I am, I'm a very, very controlled person, I didn't want to give up anything. I didn't want to give up my farm. I didn't want to give up my sugar. But I kept coming to meetings. I came to meetings for about 3 months before I got a sponsor, because I knew at that time that I needed something in my life that was going to help me. I started putting the weight on basically about 1984. I was diagnosed as having breast cancer, and I had a total mastectomy on my left side, in case you're wondering. And my weight was pretty average at that point. But you know, when you're I've always worked in the medical field, and I've always associated thinness with being sick. So slowly the weight started coming on, and I really didn't realize that the weight was going to be that much of a problem. And I went to my oncologist, and I said, I seem to be putting weight on. Can you figure out why I'm doing this? And he said, no, there's no reason for it. Well, I had to figure out for myself that psychologically, if I was heavy, I would be healthy. So that was the beginning of my weight, and then let me just go back now to where I'm coming from. I was born in 1936, and it was a time of the war, the time of the Depression. It was the time of a lot of food shortages. So we had a ration books, and you only had so much food. So in my household, we only had, I swear, we had 4 ounces, 8 ounces, 8 ounces, and, you know, that's the way we ate. And we only had a half of fruit, because that's all that we could have. We had our own garden, and we did a lot. So I grew up, I think I had food was a problem for me from the beginning, because I was never full. I always wanted more food, but you were told, and then Mother said, that was enough, even if you wanted it. And the only time I ever stole food was when I went babysitting. And I would go into the cupboard to see what they had and, you know, try to rearrange things so that they wouldn't tell that I had taken the food. But I kept my weight pretty much under control, but food was always the focus point of my life. I sort of think of my life in terms of tragedy, unfortunately. That's the way I can see it. When I was four, 18-month-old brother died. He had meningitis. When I was 18, my 14-year-old sister died, and she died from a tumor that she had in her spine. And at that time, I had been a churchgoer. I believed in my higher power, but at this point, I decided that this higher power stuff is really for the birds. It doesn't work, because what higher power would take an 18-year-old, a 14-year-old child and lose her life? So my spirituality went right down the drain. It just didn't, it was gone. However, a year later, I discovered that I had an older sister that I never knew about. And I guess I was angry about that too, to all of a sudden discover that you have this sister that you never knew existed. And I was very angry about that. Anyway, I finished high school. I met my husband when I was very young. I was only 14 when I met him, but he was already in college, and we went together for 5 years and got married at the end of 5 years, and I had my children, started raising my children, and my weight would just fluctuate. I would, like, binge eat. I would just, you know, gain 10 pounds and lose 10 pounds, gain 5 pounds and lose 5 pounds. And that went on for quite a while, until I had my cancer. And then once I had the cancer, I just continued to eat and didn't realize that it was a problem until I joined Weight Watchers and tried to lose my 10 or 15 pounds, and I realized I had 40 pounds to lose, but I couldn't lose it. I really couldn't lose it. I paid all that money, and I just couldn't do it. As I say, I got married when I was very young, and I was not a happy married lady. I was very idealistic. I grew up with Father Knows Best and all those family programs, and I really thought that my life was going to be, you know, the Nelson family. Well, we were the furthest thing from that. I had two beautiful daughters, and I still do, but my husband was very independent. As I say, he was a lawyer, and his needs came first. And I didn't know what my needs were, so I really didn't know where I was going, and I just sort of drifted. It was probably in 1972, I think it was. I developed what they call anxiety and depression. And then I also developed agoraphobia. I was an agoraphobic, and I couldn't drive, I couldn't shop, I couldn't do anything. And I went to the doctors one day, and I said, I have this big problem. I said, I can't drive, and I drive, I get these panic attacks, and I don't know what to do. So he said, well, just stop driving. I said, well, how do you do that when you have two children and you have to do all these errands? And he said, sell a car. I mean, he just made it sound like it was, you know, so simple. But I did that. I didn't sell the car, but I no longer looked at the car as being defeated. And I didn't drive. And my husband was very supportive, and but he never asked me what was going on. And I tried to explain to him what was going on, but he just really had a hard time understanding what was happening to me. I was that way for about 2.5 years. And then I slowly decided I wanted to go back to school. So I went back to school. The only way I was going to get to the school from my house was to get in the car and drive there. So I started doing little test drives to see if I would have a panic attack. And I had little goals for myself. And all during this period, as I say, my weight was pretty much stabilized. Anyway, I got myself to school, and I finished the course, and then I went on and I got my associate's degree, and went on from there and got my bachelor's degree. And I graduated from Northeastern in, I think it was June of 1984, and my cancer was diagnosed in October. I was going to graduate school time, and when I was diagnosed as having cancer, I decided I wasn't going to do any more education. That was it for me. So then I had this food problem, and then everything sort of kept coming down on me as far as I wasn't happy. I didn't know what to do. I went to a therapist. I went to psychiatrist. I went to this one and that one. I bought books trying to figure out what my answer was, and nobody had any answers. I almost quit it. My therapist needed more help than I did. But, I mean, that's the way I felt. This is where I was coming from, that she wasn't able to help me. And I didn't know what kind of help I needed. And so I just continued on that. When the weight just slowly came on, when I first came into the program, I had a tough time identifying with a lot of things. So, but then I had to stop and think, well, if you've gained 40 pounds and you can't lose it, why is that? So I had to take a good look at that, and so I came in, and I was finally able to admit that I was a compulsive overeater, and I was one of these closet eaters. I never ate in front of you. You all thought that I was perfect because you'd see my food, and it would look like it was the right stuff to be eating, but then as soon as your back was turned, boy, did I used to shove it in. I couldn't wait to get home because then I could shove it in, and so when I came into program, I was 40 pounds heavier, and I went on this food program that's no flour, no sugar, which I thought was kind of extreme because flour was my basic food. I had breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and sugar was not really a problem for me. But I did it anyway because when I came to my meetings, I saw a lot of very happy people, a lot of thin people, and people that I wanted to be like, and I wanted to be like they were. I was just about at the end of my marriage when I first came into program. I wasn't too sure what I was going to do, but I realized I needed to be positive in my life. I needed positive feedback, and I was not getting that from my husband. He was very negative, and when he was there, he was negative, and he was not really that supportive. He was supportive when I graduated from college. He was supportive when I got a job increase. He was supportive of all the big things, but of all the little basic things in life, he was really not that supportive. So I decided that I needed, and the other thing, I was still with fear, doubt, and insecurity, and one of my biggest fears was of being alone. And when I thought of leaving him, I thought that my children are getting older now, and that's going to leave me by myself, and that was very, very fearful. And I just didn't think I wanted to do that, but when I thought of what I was going through and how I felt, I decided that I was going to go for a divorce. So I did. He was in a state of shock, and I was very happy. When I moved into my first apartment by myself, I have never known such happiness. I don't know if that was, probably I'd already started the program. I'd been into OA for a year, so I knew what peace and serenity felt like, and I felt that when I opened up my, turned the key into my apartment, and I walked in, and I was by myself, and I didn't have to worry about, is everything going to be perfect when he comes home? Am I going to say the right thing? Will he yell at me if I say the wrong thing? And I was there by myself, and I've been alone now for almost 7 years. And I still like it. Your mind does pull a blank when you know that you're being recorded. Oh my goodness. Anyway, when I started, the first healing that I had in program was the food. I put the food down, and it was very easy. I lost my weight very quickly. And the second thing that I got in program was to identify with the mental part, the physical, mental, and spiritual, the mental part. And I had to take some responsibilities for this marriage. I had blamed him for everything. I put 110% blame on my husband. It was all his fault. And then I was talking to my sponsor, and she said, well, I think you better start examining this and see where you were at fault, because in the big book it does say you need to see where you were at fault and what you could have done differently. Well, she made me realize that I could have done things differently, that I could have done things differently. And that was a big awakening. I felt like a 50-pound weight loss had come off because I wasn't blaming somebody else. I could take that responsibility. And, you know, you carry a lot of stuff around, and when you're blaming somebody else for something, it weighs on you because it's their fault. And when I could stop blaming him, I felt better because now I had the control back. The last thing I had to handle was the spiritual end of it, and just saying the first three steps in the morning and at night, that third step, you know, having the willingness to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him. I said it morning, I said it at night, and I meant what I said, but I don't know as if I felt it. I said the words, and I wanted to believe it, but I don't know as if I really and truly felt it. So I decided to start looking into that. What was I missing? I heard people in programs say they went back to church after being away for 15, 20, 25 years. And I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if I could do that? And very slowly, very, very slowly, I did get back to church. But now I'm kind of in a dilemma because now I go to two different churches. And I want to decide which one that I want to stay with, and I love them both. They have both become very, very dear to me. So I'm going from one extreme to the other. I first I had none, and now I've got two. And And I go to them both every week, and I love them both. And I'm finding what I was looking for. It's been quite a search. It's been quite a journey. I have, as I said, I had two daughters, and I have my oldest daughter is sort of a little rebel. The reason I call her that is because she's the opposite of the way I am. I am very predictable. You know I'm going to be there when I say I'm going to be there. You know I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do. Whereas my oldest daughter will call me Mother's Day morning at probably 10:30 and say, well, what are you doing today? You know, whereas I would call my mother in February and say, what are we doing for Mother's Day? And would make arrangements, would make, you know, reservations. She's not like that. God bless her. I have to love her just the way she is. My other daughter, the one that I'm very, very close to, is spending this Mother's Day with her mother-in-law. And I said, I think that's great. You need to do that. Hurt? Yeah, I'm hurt a little bit, but, you know, I'm really okay with it. I have four grandchildren. My oldest grandchild is graduating from high school and just got 4 years. I'm not too sure what the scholarship is, but she's been accepted at Bentley and got a full, I'm not too sure, they say, with how much the scholarship it is, but it sounds pretty good. My next oldest granddaughter has Tourette syndrome. She also has ADHD, and she is going to have a tough life. She's going to have a tough road ahead of her. And it kind of breaks my heart, but I have to learn to deal with that, too. It is her. I try to be there for her as much as I can. My next granddaughter is also a very bright child, and she's 10. And then I have a 3-year-old grandson that's spoiled like you wouldn't know, but like you wouldn't believe. But, you know, I don't go to my youngest daughter's house anymore because I had a run-in with my son-in-law. And I had to call the police on him, so I'm not welcome in his house. And so I learned not to resent him. I learned not to be angry at him. And I'm not at my daughter's house the way I was. And that's kind of a blessing in disguise, because sometimes what you don't see is better, that you're better off. So I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful that I came into OA and that you've shown me the way. I just begun to realize I need Al-Anon. And I went to an Al-Anon convention this past weekend, and it was very, very interesting, and I did learn a lot of things. I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for this wonderful, wonderful program. I was so lost when I came in, and I found me. I found out who I am, what I am. Where am I going? I don't know. I haven't decided what I'm going to do when I grow up yet. And that's okay. That's okay. I have a good job. I have my program. You know, this program. Before I came to program, I never went out at night. I was home 7 nights a week. Never went anywhere. Now that I'm that much older, I'm out every night of the week. Plus I'm working. And but it's a wonderful, wonderful life to have my food under control, to know who I am, to know that I have a higher power who loves me and it wants me to be happy. I didn't learn that growing up. Growing up, I kind of learned that I was a Methodist when I was a child. And for those of you that are Methodist, we sort of had a God that was punishing, you know, and not a very nice. We were all sinners. I didn't know what I had done wrong, but I knew that I was a sinner. Today, I know a loving God who loves me regardless of where I'm at. He's there for me 24 hours a day. I never have to go looking for him. He's always right there. And I wouldn't have that. I wouldn't have any of that if I hadn't come into this program. I'm just extremely, extremely grateful. And thank you for asking me to share this evening, and thank you, everybody.